All right. Life in the Spirit. We're finishing it up today with a message I'm calling Free to Follow. Free to Follow. Life in the Spirit. The first point I got from Bob and Suzanne Dodd's daughter. She posted the cutest pregnancy announcement video on Facebook this week. And she held up this book. As part of, because there were no spoken words. She held up this book, and that was like her way of announcing, you know, that, and then he had one, Hop on Pop, I think, wasn't it? Hop on Pop, right? And so they've been wanting a baby for a long time. So Bob and Suzanne are going to be grandparents. Yay! So excited. And when I saw that video, I was so happy for them, because I've been praying for Brittany for a while to have a baby. I went through infertility for 8 years before I was able to have my first. And so I had a special place in my heart first. I've been praying for her. But when I saw the video, I felt like the Lord said, go get that book for Sunday. And I'm like, really? I know it's family worship Sunday, but really, God? But I looked and looked, and I couldn't find it in the library. And I called several people, and nobody could find it. And so I asked Janet, you have it? Oh, I should have asked Colleen. I asked Janet, and she said, I don't have it, but I can go to the library. So she found it, so she brought it. So that's my first point today. Are you my mother? Are you my mother? It'll make sense. Hang on. It'll make sense, I promise. Galatians 4:21 through 23 says this, tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. A human attempt. Those words, circle, highlight, write them down, do something. Human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his own promise. Are you my mother? Law or covenant? Are you my mother? Galatians 4:28 through 31 says, and you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise. The promise is your mother. Not the law. The promise is your mother. But you are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman. Are you my mother? And seriously, I didn't know why God had me get this book until like after worship started. Like seriously. And then it clicked. Right? I'm not going to read the whole book to you. I'm going to skip to the part I'm supposed to skip to. But the basic premise of the book is that a little bird is born. His mommy has to go find some food. And so she leaves him and he hatches while she's gone. And he's like, where's my mother? I got to go find my mother, right? And he goes to a kitten and he goes to a dog and he goes to a cow and all these animals. He goes to a car. He goes to all these animals and things, boats. Are you my mother? And if they can talk, they say no. Cows can talk, obviously, in this book. And all of them, he feels like, nope, that's not my mother. And then, just then, the baby bird saw a big thing. Thus, this must be his mother. There she is, he said. There is my mother. Can you see what it is? Thank you for those who know the book. It's called a snort. Well, the bird calls it a snort. He ran right up to it. Mother, mother, here I am, mother, he said to the big thing. But the big thing just said, snort. I'm terrible with sound effects, so you really don't want me to do that. It would be hysterical. We could probably make a fundraiser out of it. But yeah, we're not. Oh, you are not my mother, said the baby bird. You are a snort. I have to get out of here. But the baby bird could not get away. The snort went up. It went way, way up, and up, up, up went the baby bird. Isn't this fun? Reading time. I still love reading time. I'm telling you. When I taught high school, my seniors loved when I would read to them. Now, I wouldn't hold up pictures, but they actually loved it when I would read to them. It was so fun. But now, where was the snort going? Oh, what is this snort going to do to me? Get me out of here. It's going to get good. It's going to be like a light bulb. Trust me. Just then, the snort came to a stop. Where am I? Said the baby bird. I want to go home. I want my mother. Then something happened. The snort put that baby bird right back in the tree. The baby bird was home. Just then the mother bird came back to the tree. Do you know who I am? She said to her baby. Yes, I know who you are, said the baby bird. You are not a kitten. You are not a hen. You are not a dog. You are not a cow. You are not a boat or a plane or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my mother. The end. Now, Sandy, what does that have to do with law and promise? I'll tell you what it has to do. Some of us are still calling snort our mother. The law. Snort took us to our mother and dropped us in our mother's lap. But snort is not our mother. You hear me? And some of us, we keep trying to chase after snort. Be my mother. You don't look like me. You don't sound like me. It's exhausting to try to keep up with you. But surely you're my mother. No, the law, the purpose of the law was always to tutor us to our real place, to show us to our real place. That's was always the purpose of the law. Is the law bad? Is snort bad? No, snort serves a purpose. To get us to our mother. That's all. That's it. Are you my mother? Your mother is the free woman. The woman of promise. That's your mother. But we are free to follow. Like the title says, we are free to spend the rest of our life chasing snort. Or we are free to live with our mother where we can get nourishment and life and hope and joy from and comfort when we fall out of the nest and break something, you know? We are free to follow. Here's number two, point number two, fruit of life in the law. What's the fruit of following snort? What's the fruit of that? I shouldn't have said fruit of life in the law because it's really more like fruit of death in the law. It's really not life-giving, in my opinion, at all. What's the fruit of following snort? Point A, dissatisfaction and exhaustion. That's what it is. Dissatisfaction and exhaustion. In Galatians 5:3, Paul says, I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the law of Moses. You see, people who love to talk about the law, the problem is they pick and choose which laws they want to follow because they know they can't follow every regulation because they've tried and it just leads to dissatisfaction and exhaustion. So instead they pick their pet laws. They say, we're going to talk about this one because I'm really good at this one. But don't talk about that one because I'm not so good at that one. So we're going to pretend that one doesn't exist. It's dissatisfaction and exhaustion. Point B, self-dependency. That's another fruit of trying to follow snort. is self-dependency. Galatians 5:4. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. What? Wait a minute. Rewind. Back up. How many of you have heard the phrase fall from grace? What does it usually mean? It means someone who's in spiritual leadership who was caught in a sin and they say he or she fell from grace. First of all, that's impossible. But Paul says, if you want to know what falling from grace looks like, here it is. Trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law. Self-dependency. Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. That's what it says right there very plainly. Point C, confusion. How many of you who tried to live by the law for a while just ended up in a big confused mess? Besides me, it's confusing. Galatians 5:10 says, I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. He's talking about someone who came in and taught the false teaching of trying to keep all the law of Moses by requiring circumcision from all believers. Wow. Confusion. Point D, internal war. Internal war, Galatians 5:16 and 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your hearts. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. I wish I had a couple swords I could, you know, fight. Because the boys would have liked that. I could have had you, probably all of you could have brought 10, right? Oh, yeah. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and you are not free to carry out your good intentions. When you focus on following Snort, you are not free to carry out your good intentions because you're constantly at an internal war, trying to do the right thing and failing, trying and failing, trying and failing, trying and failing, trying and succeeding, trying and failing. No matter how many successes you get, there's going to be a failure at some point, and it leads to nothing but problems, nothing but an internal war where you want to do what's right, but you feel powerless to do what's right. It's because you're trying to call Snort your mother. That's what it is. Snort can't bring you nourishment. Snort can take you to the nest. But Snort cannot bring you nourishment. Can't do it. Point three, fruit of life in the Spirit. Fruit of life in the Spirit. Point A, freedom. Somebody say freedom. Woohoo. Thank God. And I say that sincerely. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. You would think that would say to sin, wouldn't you? No, it says slavery to the law. Paul says, you've been set free completely. Don't get tangled up again in trying to keep yourself free by obeying the law. Oh my goodness. Point B, faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. Galatians 5:6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. That's the fruit of walking on the road of promise. Fruit of life in the Spirit. That's the fruit. Faith expressing itself in love. I'm these because, you know, we have kids in here. I'm trying to go fast because I know they have attention spans, right? Shoot, who am I kidding? Adults do too, right? Point C, serving one another in love. Serving one another in love. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. I can tell when someone's living life in the Spirit, when they're following their true mother, because they serve one another in love. I have seen it too, so many times. It's a beautiful thing to behold. It's like a gem, you know, that you just look at and you're amazed by it. Serving one another in love. And then point D, I didn't want to make a bunch of points. So I just did a D, the eight great. How many of you know what the eight great are? I'm going to tell you. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces. Who produces? The Holy Spirit, not me. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, the sad fact of the matter is, through many years of Sunday school, those eight great were put up in front of me, and I was told, now you got to work really hard at doing that, because that's what the Holy Spirit looks like. That is not what the verse says. That is not what the verse says. The verse says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. So the goal is following the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control and the others I missed. That's the goal. The goal is to follow the Spirit and then look for the fruit, because it will come. It does come. Some fruit takes longer than others to come. Some of us might have self-control issues that God, the Holy Spirit's still working on. Don't sweat it. Holy Spirit's going to produce it. You just keep following the Spirit. We're following the Spirit wherever he may go. Right? Follow, follow. That's what we're doing. We're following the Spirit. And here's a funny thing to me, though. When you're living, almost done, kids, you guys are awesome. I love the way you just pay attention. You're really unbelievable. Really amazing. When you're living life in the Spirit, be aware. Paul finishes out this one chapter with a couple of things. Don't get conceited. Don't pick a fight. And don't be jealous of each other. We find that in Galatians 5:25 and 26. Since we are living by the Spirit. So he's talking here to people who are living by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another. That means pick a fight. Or be jealous of one another. Now, don't you find it interesting? He's talking to people who are living life in the Spirit and he's saying, don't get conceited. Why is that? Because I don't know. Once we get dropped in the nest and we know who our true mom is, we look down our noses at people who are still following Snort. What? You followed Snort too. You have no business, you know, looking down your nose at anybody who's following Snort. You did too. I did too. Don't get conceited. Don't get puffed up. Don't pick a fight. Hey, you're following Snort, you big dummy. What's wrong with you? Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Don't go around picking a fight. Love people. Love. Don't pick a fight. Just love people where they are when you're following the Spirit. And don't be jealous of each other. Why do we do that? Well, I wish I could do what she does. She does it so much better than I do. I wish I looked like she does. Live life in the Spirit. Celebrate what he or she does. And know that you do some other stuff. Better, different, whatever. Doesn't matter. Which road do you want to follow? Do you want to follow your mother? The promise. The covenant. Your real mother. Oh, I want to follow my real mother. Because that is my real mother, you see. It is. We're going to go into communion. And I think it's perfectly appropriate to go from where we just were into communion. Because communion reminds me of what Jesus did to make it possible for me to find my mother. Made it possible for me to find my father. And to, when I get settled into the nest, go, oh yeah, you're not a kitten, you're not a cow, you're not a hen. You are my mother. You are my father. And to receive nourishment from that place. So ushers, go ahead and start passing it out. And while Jerry plays some music for us, just meditate on what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Privilege of conducting a marriage, a wedding ceremony yesterday. Those of you might know Daniel and Catrice. They've been coming periodically for a few months. Yeah, it was so fun. We had so much fun. But as I was sitting there, I thought, what brought them to their wedding day? Love. That's what brought them to their wedding day. What if this morning when they woke up, because they wrote their own vows, what if when they woke up this morning, Daniel said to Catrice, okay, here's the vows you made. You better make sure you stick to these today. And Catrice said, well, here's the vows you wrote. You better stick to these today. What if they tried to live their whole marriage sticking to their vows, studying them, figuring out the Greek and the Hebrew behind the vows? You laugh, but we do. No. What brought them to their wedding was love. Do I believe in vows? More than most people in this room, probably. Maybe, maybe not. I believe in vows, but you see, that can't be your focal point. The love needs to be the focal point. That's the place that gives life. That's the place. Let's take the bread. Lord, we pray over this bread right now. We thank you for what it represents. Your broken body. Jesus, you took every punishment for every infraction against the law that we've ever committed or ever will commit. And you paid the price for it so we don't have to. So when we look at this bread, that's what we think of. And we remember your sacrifice and we celebrate it. Let's take the bread together. Lord, we look at this juice and we recognize that it represents the great price you paid so we can live and walk and breathe in freedom from bondage to the law, from bondage to following a mother that's not ours, to be nourished by you, our true mother and father, to be loved and comforted and protected the way you created us to be, to thrive, to freely walk and create the way you called us to create. And we thank you for that. We remember the sacrifice and we thank you for it. Let's take the juice together. Amen. Amen. Now I challenge you to go home and call one family member and say, I learned that Snort is not my mother today in church. It'll open up a fun conversation.